Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson, live and local on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 94.5 in Petaluma.
Game one, Warriors-Raptors tonight. Pre-game 5:30, tip-off at 6 right here on KSRO. 3:18, it is your Thursday drive. That means Theater Thursday with Harry John Duke. Jamie Love is here. Hi.
Hello.
We have Jennifer King on the phone. They're doing.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great.
They're doing the Belle of Amherst Sonoma Arts Live is. Harry?
Yeah.
This is about Emily Dickinson.
This is about Emily Dickinson. Are you in the mood for some poetry, Steve?
No.
Okay. Well, hopefully the audiences are, because that is indeed the topic of the Belle of Amherst, which is running now at Sonoma Arts Live in Sonoma. This is its closing weekend, actually, but you've got four chances to see it tonight, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2. And joining us are the Executive Artistic Director of Sonoma Arts Live, Jamie Love, and the star of the Belle of Amherst, Miss Jennifer King. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I also want to say, even if you're not a big poetry fan, you will leave as an Emily Dickinson fan, because it's really the story of her life and the story of a woman who was really born out of her time. That's what I find so fascinating, and what Jennifer does such a great job of doing.
So it's a one-woman show.
It's a one-woman show with Jennifer King.
How did the show come about to Sonoma Arts Live? What made you bring this here?
Well, our series this year is called A Toast to the Classics, and I had a slot that was a two-week slot that I was looking for something to fill, and I had remembered that Jennifer King did such a beautiful job for us with Bad Dates a few years back, and this is a show I've sort of had in my back pocket for years. And I saw Julie Harris do it on television years and years ago, and I just found it fascinating. I mean, just the sheer way that Jennifer brings this woman to life and sustains your interest for 2 hours is worth the price of admission. But really finding out who this poet was beyond what you learned in 11th grade English class is really fascinating. And she wasn't published in her lifetime, which I just find fascinating. It was something, more than a handful of times. But I'll let Jennifer tell you about who she really was.
So, Jennifer, tell us about your introduction to this piece when it was first brought to you. What were you thinking when you were offered this opportunity?
Well, I was, first of all, daunted by doing another one-woman show, because the amount of work that it takes, it's like a marathon. But because I had the experience of Bad Dates, I sort of knew, okay, this is what I need to do in order to do this piece. And the poetry is so incredible that I couldn't not do it. And the play itself is so beautiful. It just was one of those things I couldn't turn down as an actor, and especially at this particular time in my life. So it was just one of those gifts that came along, and I'm really, really grateful for it.
This says you're portraying 15 different characters? Or am I misreading this?
But the piece does... No, definitely. But I think the crux of it is Emily throughout her life, and then the only way for you to get to know those people in her life is sometimes they speak and they speak through her. So she speaks as her father. She speaks as her brother. She speaks as her teachers. But it isn't... You know, a lot of these plays that are like that are all about transformation, how the person changes personality. And I think this is a little bit more subtle. It's more about how Emily interpreted them.
I think the writer, William Luce, does a really great job of really seamlessly taking her from Emily to these people in her lives and then bringing her back again. It's almost like you would tell a story and you're imitating your sister or something, and you bring your sister to life and then you go back and as yourself. And Jennifer and the playwright do a really great job of taking you along on that premise and not, it doesn't pull you out of the show at all.
How long ago was this debuted?
Mid-70s, yeah. I think 74 or 75. Yeah. It was done on Broadway with Julie Harris and directed by Charles Nelson Reilly, actually, better known for his game show appearances, but he was quite the theater artist. It was very successful at the time, as Jamie said. I think PBS recorded it for display. It's a very popular one-person show to be done. Jennifer, now, as I understand it, this show doesn't start out like most shows do. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Well, it was the conceit of the director, someone that I've worked with in graduate school. She was my acting professor and directed me for years. And I just knew with a piece of this subtlety, I just knew she would be terrific. And her conceit was, you know, let's not forget that it's an actor. You know, Jennifer isn't going to try and do Julie Harris. It is Jennifer transforming into Emily Dickinson. We never quite lose her. And so I set up the entire stage, all the furniture, all of the dressings, and I get into costume and become Emily during the pre-show. So it kind of, it really does stun everybody, because as soon as I put my hair up, there's this gasp of, oh my goodness, there she is. And that's sort of thrilling. And in fact, I have to say, when I saw the photos for the first time, I was really struck how different I looked and how I perceived myself, and that was really, really cool.
And as an audience member, you really feel a part of it watching. I sat in with the audience on Thursday night, our opening, and it was just so fun to watch her, you know, bop in with her headphones on, like little, you look like a little teeny bopper, and setting up the stage, and I could feel you slowly as each prop was placed in its specific location, you getting closer and closer to Emily, so that by the time you leave and then come back with the first line, we were all just like, you know, it was I felt like I was sitting around a campfire and hearing a wonderful story.
Now, how is the theater set up for this production? Because there's several different variations that are possible in the Sonoma Community Center.
It's a three-sided. It's three-sided, and the action all takes place on the floor.
So you're not using the stage, per se?
Nope, not using the stage at all.
And then Jennifer's surrounded by the audience.
Right, so it's a very intimate setting.
Jennifer, what would you like the audience to know about Emily Dickinson, or what did you find out about Emily Dickinson that you did not know before you got involved in this production?
Well, I have to say that when I first approached it, I was like, oh, this is going to be really depressing. You know, this woman that was all by herself. And I think that that's a huge misnomer. I think what we're discovering is that Emily was incredibly vibrant. First of all, she's incredibly political. She was very anti-war. And she had many, many love affairs. But, you know, a woman of that time got married, and she didn't. And there's talk that she was bisexual, and certainly that was not talked about back then. And so she had an incredibly vibrant life, and you find that in her poetry. And I felt that that was what was so interesting, is allowing that to enliven within this particular production, was to really make her a fully dimensional person who had great joy, great heartbreak, and goes through, you know, a lifetime, yes, alone, and more so as she got older, but also really lived. And what a lot of the scholars say, there's a lot of discussion about the fact that, you know, that our male-dominated society really needed to look at her as a victim because she was so powerful. And so looking at through a different lens of, you know, this woman was really dynamic and just wasn't able to have a voice until she died. It's really quite stunning.
And one of the things that drew me to it is that people have always described her as a recluse. I remember studying her in 11th grade humanities class, and oh, she was a recluse and lived by herself and didn't go out. And what I found as we got more involved in the play is that she just had such an incredible inner life, and through her letters to her friends and things like that, she had a full, full life. She just didn't really feel that the society that she was born into really fit her at that time. So that's a really different story, and I think it really imbues her poetries with another level.
And it doesn't mean that she didn't live full. It just means she lived differently.
Yes.
We've been talking about the Belle of Amherst production running now out at Sonoma Arts Live. It runs through this weekend. There are performances. Well, tonight's performance is sold out, I believe, correct?
Yes. When last time I checked, we had one ticket left. So that was pretty exciting.
But it also runs Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday matinee is at 2 p.m. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to the first caller at 707-636-1350. Please do not have won any of our theater tickets with in the last 30 days. We like to give many people the opportunity to enjoy the plethora of theater available in Sonoma County. So if you haven't won in the last 30 days, you're welcome to call 707-636-1350 and pick up a ticket to, or a pair of tickets to, the Belle of Amherst out at Sonoma Arts Live.
I turned my mic off.
And let's also encourage folks to come in, you know, 20 minutes early so they can catch the Meta Theater piece of her transforming into Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, it's a performance by itself.
That's right.
That you are welcome and invited to witness. Jennifer, this is the second one-person show that you've done in recent memory. Is this something that really appeals to you?
I, it's something that's different. I just did a Raptured Lister Burn at Lucky Penny, which was really fantastic.
It was a terrific show.
It was.
I can't say that I prefer one or the other. I just love investigating these people I get to play, and I'm so happy that I get to play them. So if it happens to be in a one-woman show, fantastic. What I love most about it is the direct address to the audience. I feel that I get to have a relationship with the audience. I don't try and shut off and pretend that there's no one there or, you know, blur anybody out. I make people my screen partners, and hopefully not by not being intrusive, but certainly engaging with them, and many of them engage back. And that's, I love that, because there gets to be a real intimacy that happens that I think can be rare in the theater. I'm not saying it is rare, but it can be. And certainly for me as a performer, it's heaven to be with so many people who are either on your side or not on your side.
Well, again, it's running this weekend. It's a short run, but you've got a couple more performances to catch of The Belle of Amherst out at Sonoma Arts Live at the Sonoma Community Center. 7:30 p.m. performances on Friday and Saturday, and a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. All sorts of information can be found at sonomaartslive.org. I believe we have our ticket winner, so thank you for calling.
The phones are slammed, so if you're trying to call in, we already have a winner.
Jennifer, thank you for joining us. Jamie, thank you for joining us as well. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say one last thing. It's definitely an evening or afternoon of fun. You know, when you first think poetry, it's going to be a big bore. But it really is so many multi-levels, and I understand that people have a really good time, and it is funny.
All right,
Jennifer. And a special thanks to Sharon Winokur and Skipper for the wonderful costumes as well.
Jennifer King, Jamie Love, it's at the Sonoma Community Center, Sonoma Arts Live's a production of The Belle of Amherst. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Harry Duke, next Thursday.
No, I'm off for a couple of weeks. David Templeton will be filling in for me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're going back. Yeah.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Oh.
And those are tornadoes. They're known as tornadoes.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah.
They're having a rough time.
Indeed.
Political strategist Bob Schrum will join us. ABC News correspondent Andy Field, live from D.C. Terry Stark's coming in. They're reopening Willie's Wine Bar. Beginning tonight, we're excited about that. There's a whole lot more yet to come, including the Warriors on KSRO.